Let's take a trip down memory lane with Niagara County's Great History Show. Now, here's your host, Norm Palmer.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show this morning on this bright, sunshine-filled morning. In the guest studio with me, the Executive Director of the Niagara County History Center, Melissa Dunlap, and her assistant, Anne-Marie Lineberry. Good morning, ladies.
Could you hear us?
Yeah, we have you now.
Okay. All right. So I guess we're going to talk about photography studios and photographers from Lockport and Niagara Falls. We don't have every single one, but we're hoping that people will look for photos that they have in their house that have the photographer's name on it so that we can see if we have any information for you on that. And I also wanted to say we're going to start our upcoming season with some outdoor events. And we are going to do Cemetery Tales, one in August and one in September. And I'll be announcing the dates and who the characters are. But there'll be a Cold Spring Cemetery. People will have to wear a mask. And the speakers will be 6 feet from the people. We're going to get microphones for them so that people don't have to be right up close to them to hear them. And we think that that's probably the best way to start, although Anne-Marie has some programs that she's going to do.
Well, I was a little, got excited there when I heard 6 feet. I thought you were going to say, and our guests are 6 feet under.
Well, that's true.
Okay, that's very true. Anne-Marie.
They're permanent residents.
So. Well, we are going to be doing a couple of children's programs this summer.
Usually we do four during the summer. This year we're only going to do two, and they're going to be a little shorter than we usually do. We're trying it out to see how things go. On July 21st, we are going to be doing a program. This is for children ages 7 through 12 about the history of firefighting in Lockport. And we are going to be doing some activities, which... we're still working on, you know, how we're going to do this with social distancing and that sort of thing. But again, masks will be required. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We're working on how this is going to work. But the kids will have a lot of fun. We're going to do some outdoor activities and some indoor things, again, with social distancing. And then on August 18th, which is also a Wednesday, both of these are on Wednesday, we're going to do a program that... we've done a couple of times, actually, but it's always been a very popular one with both the children and the adults. We're going to do a program about the Titanic. And again, we're going to be doing some activities both inside and outside for that program as well. But we'll have more information about both of those programs as we get closer to those dates.
Yes. We have the Belva Lockwood exhibit at the museum right now. It's in the Atwater Building, which is the main building at 215 Niagara Street. And Belva Lockwood, of course, was born in 1830 and ran for president. She was the only woman who actually got votes in a presidential election in 1884, and she ran again in 1888. She was the first woman to argue a case in front of the United States Supreme Court. It's a really nice exhibit. We hope that you'll come in and see that. And we do have an art show coming in. It will open on Saturday, and it will be here until May 15th. So if you're looking for something to do and you just want to walk in, we don't have all the buildings open yet. That won't occur until probably into May. But you can come in the main building, and you can watch the orientation film. You can see the Belva Lockwood exhibit, and now you'll be able to see the art exhibit. So we're starting to welcome people back. The Erie Canal Discovery Center will open for the season on May 1st. It is open every day from May 1st until October 31st from 9 to 5, and that's at 24 Church Street. So that's only one building, so they can meet all the restrictions of keeping it clean and everything that you need for COVID. So that will be opening May 1st. All righty.
Okay, now we are going to talk about photography studios and pictures. So if you have pictures right now, and I know a lot of us have pictures from my mother. Now, if you remember, my mother lived to be almost 104, so some of the pictures were in my crossword puzzle that I do daily, they have once in a while the tint from back in the days. Okay, I forget what the name of it was.
Sepia.
Sepia, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't finish my puzzles sometimes, you know. And when I was looking at my pictures, my mom passed down, and of course I have them now, some of the pictures that have that kind of color to them. And if you flip it over, sometimes you can see the studio that took that picture. So what we would like you to do today is look at your pictures that you have. Give us a call at 433-1433, and Melissa and Anne Marie will be able to look up to see if they have a record of that studio, and if not, maybe you can fill them in, and we can have a good time today with the photography in Western New York and in Lockport.
One of the reasons we picked this topic today is there is going to be a photographic celebration of the Erie Canal at the Keaton Center, featuring works by Frank Bernard Clench. And the exhibit is going to run at the Keenan from April 25th through June 6th of this year. It is in conjunction with the Lockport Locks Heritage District Corporation. And it is the special consultant for the exhibit this is Dennis Steyer. He is creating and curating the exhibit, showcasing examples of early photographic equipment, and also a collection of Clench's work. And the second floor of the Keenan Center will include local photographers' works capturing Lockport and the Erie Canal. So in commemoration of Frank Clench, we're going to talk a little bit about him today, and then you can go and see the exhibit of his works at the Keenan Center starting April 25th. Frank Bernard Clench was born in Niagara Falls, Canada in 1838, and he started his photographic career over in Niagara Falls, Canada, and that was in 1861. And in 1863, he moved to Lockport. And he became a photographer here in Lockport. And he married a woman from Lockport, Mary Smith. And he soon established himself as one of Lockport's finest regional photographers. But he was extremely dismayed by the lowly income his colleagues generated because of the extravagant lengths that they went to in order to satisfy their clientele. So Frank Clench enforced an ironclad policy. First, he decided upon views that would most harmoniously accommodate the sitter's taste prior to the sitting, from which he would not deviate until a suitable negative was produced. If there were several equally satisfactory negatives, he would only show one of those to his customer and explain what prices were based upon a single sitting and proof only. Should they request additional seatings, they would have to pay extra for that. So in addition to his portraiture, he also became known for his stereophonic views of Lockport as well. In 1883, Mr. Clench made his famous photographic contribution. At the time, the cameo photograph, while quite stylish, was not particularly popular during its inferior construction. With its convex surface, the cameo was extremely susceptible to soiling. With his plaque photographic method, Mr. Clench produced a concave shape for his pictures with a convex rim surrounding the outer surface, which was as fashionable as the cameo, but far less susceptible to discoloration and damage. In its 4x4-inch size, it fit within the parameters of the popular cabinet size cards and allowed the artist to customize its borders by utilizing a double print method. At each end of the photo, the words "the plaque" appeared at the top with the photographer's name and monogram printed at the bottom. The plaque gained immediate popularity within the photographic community because it allowed struggling professionals to increase their prices and profits. To the traditionalist who decried the plaque, Mr. Clench responded, "Why is it so few changes or novelties are introduced by photographers? The same styles of years ago are still in vogue. Every other line of business has its fashionable novelties. We want more fashion, nicer settings for our work, and we don't want it all in the frame. We want the picture worth as much as the frame. The plaque promises to do the thing. And he actually received patents for his two methods, the cameo and the plaque method. After more than three successful decades in Lockport, Mr. Clench relocated to Fairport, which is near Rochester, where he opened a gallery on North Main Street in 1889. He developed a reputation of being the foremost local photographer, specializing in babies and young children, school classes, and sports teams. His work was frequently featured in the prestigious Wilson's Photographic Magazine. Mary Clench died in 1892, and 4 years later, Frank Clench again found material happiness with Lucy Howard. In 1901, the couple moved to Madison, Georgia, where he opened a studio. However, the photographer's increasingly frail health led to his retirement, and he returned to Fairport in July of 1914, and he died on November 1st, 1914. He was 76 years old, and his plaque and cameo photographs have become highly sought-after collectibles.
Yeah, the photo of the lock tenders was taken by Clench, and that is the photo that they're using for the sculptures down by the locks. So more of those sculptures were going to be installed this year, I believe four or five more. So that whole picture will eventually be in sculptures done by Susan Geisler of Lewiston, and it will be really a stunning addition to the Flight of Five Locks. Okay, I wanted to thank, we have three great photographers at the museum. Ken Boyd retired, but before he retired, he did almost 100 notebooks of photos of things around Niagara County. And 50 years from now, somebody's going to be thrilled to see these, because not only are they in pockets, labeled, but they're indexed, because Ellen Nelson, one of our volunteers, has indexed all these notebooks. So,
and he also, in some cases, added, if there was a story in the newspaper,
right,
about the event, he added the story. So you not only have the photograph, but you have the context
of the
story
photo
as well.
So, and also he took the inside of all the Catholic churches before they closed. And, I mean, he really did a lot of work. So we're very grateful to Ken. We still have two photographers that are working. We have Bruce Aiken, who is a volunteer at the museum, and he has been taking photos for us for years, and also Norm Pearson. And Norm takes a lot of events, not only for the museum, but for other organizations in the area. So we're really grateful that we have our own photographers who are documenting history. And it's really important, because a lot of these pictures we are getting printed out. We're afraid that if technology changes again,
as it always does,
it's hard to get a lot of the back technology that you can take it out and print it. So printing them is still a good idea.
And you mentioned Dennis Steyer.
And Dennis Steyer.
He was one of the top photographers in this area. He
yes.
could do magic with a camera.
Yes. And Dave Stockton does also. You know, he works with us also. So there's a lot of good, and that's just, there's loads of wonderful photographers here. It's just that these are the people that we work with. So I'm not excluding anybody else that does a great job.
And you had mentioned on the last show or the show before that, how in time the digital cameras and stuff that's taking over now on the internet, we won't have photographs as you have now, and it's going to be very difficult to relive 50 years.
Yes.
As you stated on that show, whenever it was.
Well, it's because people don't print the photos
right.
out.
Yeah, they're on your phone your laptop.
Yeah, then your phone crashes and they're gone. And, you know, if you don't move them from your phone and send them to your email and then, you know, from your email, either print them out or put them on a jump drive. I mean, this is not only a problem with photos. This is a problem with letters and notes, because people write emails and then they delete them. So we are erasing the average person's history.
And being the sports nut that I am, I have a lot of recorded sporting events on my box that they give me from cable. And then when the box goes poo-poo and you have to get another box, guess what? They lock it so you can't copy these, so I lose all of that. It's happened twice, mm-hmm. and then I have to start all over again.
Yes, and this, yeah. you know, this is a real issue that people don't realize that you're, especially, say, with Desert Storm or the soldiers that are fighting in Afghanistan, you know, normally they would write letters home, but we don't do that anymore. They do emails, or they do
FaceTime.
Something like that. So you have a virtual conversation, but you're not recording things. I mean, that's why we know so much about the Civil War and World War One and World War Two and Korean War, and even the Vietnam War, because people wrote letters home and told what they were thinking and what was transpiring, and it's just not happening anymore. So
and as Anne Marie and Melissa progress through today, they are going to talk about photography studios. So remember, you have to look at the pictures that you have at home now, the photographs, turn them over, see who took the pictures, what studio has it. Give us a call, 433-1433. Okay, Melissa, let's roll.
Okay, so in Lockport, we talked about Kledge, and he actually was here from 1866 through 1883. But we had a grant, a Gantt, G-A-N-T-T, so I'm starting from 1866. And it was a miss. So in 1866, we had a woman photographer here in Lockport, because we were very progressive always. Her name was Miss M.J. Gantt. Then we had a Mrs. Graves, and I love that they never put their first name. It's E.R.M. and Mrs. Graves, so it was a couple that were doing it. Then Joseph Montgomery, William Morris, Joseph Starkey, Charles Tallman, and Vickery and Clench. So Clench had actually two locations. He had his own, and then he had a partnership with someone. By 1868, the Miss Gantt was still there, the Graves. There was Montgomery, a Morris, a William Morris. Ah, that sounds familiar. And a Plimpton and Ruggles. In 1875, it was really narrowing down. It was just Clench, Montgomery, Plimpton, and Smith. It was a G.M. Smith, and he was over 76 Main Street. 1876, there were only four, Clench, Hopkins, Montgomery, and Smith. 1878, the same four. 1880, the same four. So, boy, not a lot of competition there. In 1882, you had Clench, Hopkins, Montgomery, Smith, and then two new ones, a C.A. Stacy and a C.F. Webster. So if you have photographs that have like a Smith or a Stacy or a Webster name, then that would tell you the very first date that those could possibly be from. And that's how we date a lot of the photos at the museum, is we look at when the people were in business, and then we know that it can't be newer than the first date and can't be later than the last date. 1888 was Filio, Rainey, and Smith. So Clench was totally gone by then. 1891 was O'Connor, Rainey, Sand, and Smith. And this was Reuben Sand, because there was Seward Sand that we'll talk about. He was from Niagara Falls, but Reuben Sand, I don't know if they were related, probably not. 1892 was Porter and Company, Rainey, Sand, and Waite, W-A-I-T. 1893 was Burge, Porter, Rainey, and Sand. 1894 was Burge, Porter, Rainey, and Sand. Then we have Burge, Hart, Porter, Rainey, and Sand in 1895. This also, I was going to talk about, because I don't want to just keep reading the list, was high school photos. Do you remember who took your high school photo, Norm?
No.
No, because when I did it, and when my sister and brother did it, and there was 12 years between the time my sister graduated and I graduated, not because I was in school all those years, I was 12 years younger. But that was a Varden studio, and when my sister had hers done, then they had the mohair sweaters and the white pearls, and by the time I graduated in the 70s, anything went. They didn't have the...
But now they're back to having the uniform, because my daughter Erin, when she had hers, they had a black top that they put on to make it look like they were wearing a dress, and the pearls.
And the pearls.
So, you know, everything goes back again. So that was just a couple of years ago. Yeah. So
there were studios that just really specialized in high school photos, which I'm sure there's some that still do. And then there's also the ones that do the church directories. You know, there's companies that come in and they do all the photos for church directories. And I should have looked to see. We had it done a couple years ago at church. I should have looked to see what the name was. But, you know, there are almost what you would call itinerant photos, photographers, who go from area to area doing a particular thing, which is kind of interesting.
Well, let's take our first break, Melissa, and we'll give the folks a chance to get their photos together and look at them and see if they can determine what studio they came from. You are listening to Niagara County's Great History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.
There is a difference between a job and a career, and it's hard to tell. There are a couple of questions you can ask. How fast can you move up? Make more. What's the turnover like? That's a big one. If people stay a while, the place might be great, like Metro Bus and Rail. Mechanics, technicians, and electricians at Metro stay with Metro because the job is always different. There are always new things to learn and try, plenty of opportunities to move around and up. Metro takes care to balance your life and your work, offering paid vacations and holidays, vision, dental, and life insurance. In fact, it has one of the most comprehensive healthcare packages in the Northeast. Yes, this whole part of the country. Metro is now hiring electricians, technicians, and mechanics. So if you're looking to make a move, move now. This is more than a job. This is a career. Visit jobs.nfta.com today.
Hometown 1340 AM and 105.3 FM is Niagara County's information station. Now, proud to partner with Fox News. Get the latest updates every hour, on the hour, from America's top news network, Fox News Radio. Always up-to-date information every hour, every day. The exclusive home for Fox News Radio in Western New York is Hometown 1340 AM and 105.3 FM. WLVL Lockport. Streaming live worldwide at WLVL.com and on your smart devices and speakers.
Welcome back to Niagara County's Great History Show. In the guest studio with me, the Executive Director of the Niagara County History Center, Melissa Dunlap, and her assistant, Anne-Marie Linaberry. Okay, ladies and folks, we are talking about photography studios. Okay, Melissa.
Okay. Well, in the interim, while we were talking during the ad, we were talking about how those original color photos faded. I don't know. Do you have any that faded of your kids?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then we had the brilliant idea of putting them in those magnetic albums, you know, that had the sticky side. And that's all of my children's photos are in those. So obviously I wasn't thinking too well. I haven't tried to take them out, but Anne-Marie said she took a few out of hers.
Yeah.
And
most of them came out okay, but a few of them really stuck. And yeah.
Yeah. But then she was saying, too, that... The photos we have of our mothers that are black, that had the corners, you know, those are great.
Yeah, those photo albums are still around. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
The photos are still very good.
So it's, you know, that's another thing is, at the time, those magnetic ones just seemed so convenient, but ay. Okay, so... really, we had about the same people right through the 1880s. In 1900, a man named C.P. Arthur was added to the list, and this is in Lockport. And then there was Chick Studio in 1902, along with Haig, Rainey, and Sand. Arthur shows up again. Then there was a Walter Thayer that was added to the list. There was a Marshall that started in 1907. The manager of that shop was W. McDonald. Then we're back down to Haig, Rainey, Sand, and Thayer. And that continues right through... Okay, 1915, the first time we add a new person, who is Millard Photo, and that was over 66 Main Street.
Melissa, we have a call coming in. If you'd like to take that call now, we can do that. Good morning. Okay, evidently they hung the phone up faster than I could answer
maybe
it.
Maybe they'll call back.
Call us back. 433-1433.
This Hague studio was in the Lincoln building. Okay. Do you have any idea where
that was behind the F&M building.
Oh, okay. Most of them were on Main Street, Walnut Street. 3 out of 5 were on Main Street. One was in the Lincoln building and one was on Walnut. So these were shops on the main thoroughfare. Okay. So Seaward Sand, who also had a photography studio in Niagara Falls, started in Lockport in 1923. And he is a pretty well-known photographer from this area. And then there was an Alwyn Sand, A-L-W-Y-N. I wonder if it was a relative. So you still had it's the same people for years and years. Then in 1927, we have a Link, L-I-N-C-K, and it's Emma. So there was a girl that entered into a fray. 1930, we had the Barker's Photographic Studio, along with Link, Sands, and Hague. Then it doesn't change again until 1936, when we get a Bentley, and it's an Alice. So now you have two girls. You have Alice Bentley and Emma Link, the Hague Photo Studio, and Seaward Sand. So those are the four in 1936, 37, and 38. Gold Tone Studios showed up. And I see that they're there for years. I think maybe they might have done some school photos, the Gold Tone Studios. And they were at 58 Main Street. So 1941, we added Arthur Moreau. And 1942, we added Larry's Film Service, along with Alice Bentley, the Gold Tone, the Hague, the Link, the Moreau, and the Sand. 1947, the directory stopped from 1943 through 1946. So they start again in 1947. And there was a man named Chukla, C-H-U-C-K-L-A, Henry. And we had Gold Tone, we had Grimble. So now we have a Grimble that's doing photography, Hague, Link, and Sand. The same in 1949. 1952, Alice Bentley's back, and we have Berthold Studios, Henry's Photo Studio, Plummer, Schoons, S-C-H-O-O-N-E-N-S, and Walter. So their names are starting to change. 1953, they added LaValle Photoshop on Locust. 1955, William F. Donald added, and the Englander Studios. And I know they were also in Niagara Falls. John Gray, Henry Schuetz, and Harriet Walters. So it's pretty much the same in 57, 58, and 59.
Well, one thing I'd like to add that I remember growing up as a kid, Jay's Drugstores was big in Lockport. We had, I don't know, 3-4 Jay's Drugstores. Mm-hmm. And then they had a big photography store down on Lower Main Street.
But they did, they sold like supplies, and you dropped your photos off there and picked them up and that?
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't. I didn't.
So they weren't qualified as a studio then?
No, because they were a store. They were camera supplies and camera.
That's where the studios got their equipment.
Yeah, got their equipment.
And for the kids that are out there now and the young people that are out there now, you don't know what you're missing when you take a group of a roll of film, you take it into the store, you hand it to them, they take your name. A couple of weeks later, they give you a call and you say your pictures are done. Then you go to get them and they're not the pictures you want.
Yeah.
And we have another phone call coming in.
Good.
Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. Go ahead. You are on.
Good morning. I have the name of a photographer that was in the 1940s that was not on Melissa's list.
Ah, who was it?
It's Bob Metcalf at Lockport Photo Laboratories. He was pretty well known through the area, and I think he did some of those school photos you were talking about. My mother actually worked for him. I have her 1946 diary here. She started working for him in August of 1946. And there's another comment in October where she says that She had been paid $13.50 for 4 days' work.
Wow. And I'm sure she was working hard.
He was in the Bewley building. Okay. So I remember going there getting photos done at one point. I've got several pictures here at the house that he did. He lived in Johnson Creek and is well known through the area.
Okay. Sometimes, and this is the problem with relying on the directories, is they do miss businesses and things. Have what we have. Who did your senior photo? Do you remember?
I don't.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was just looking at the envelope that the photos came in the other day, and I kept the photos and threw the envelope away.
And it has a name on it, right?
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you very
much. Bye.
You ask about my school photos, but I coached in this area for quite a few years, youth baseball. And after his bad accident, Ninangelo used to do all of the photos youth baseball. And Nin was one of the top bowlers in this area. He worked construction. And he held the record for 17 weeks on Beat the Champ. And they're trying to bring Beat the Champ back now. And we used to kid Nin all the time because he was a left-hander. And most of us were right-handers, you know. We said, you left-handers, you had the easy side of the lanes anyhow. But Nin was one of the most outstanding people you ever wanted to meet. And he took all of the pictures. And he would do side shots and whatever you wanted. And I don't know if he had a studio per se, but he was great when it come to that.
I do remember, and I remember, I think he also did the Y swim team photos.
Very possible.
It seems to me, I'll have to look because I have those, but I do remember him coming in at least for one of my sons to take photos. So I that's right, I do remember him. Also, I was thinking you were talking about going to pick your pictures up and they were the wrong ones, but do you remember you used to get doubles? I don't know why.
Oh, my goodness.
And then half of the roll would be bad, but you had two of every bad photo?
Yeah. And then what do you do with them?
And whatever you give them,
those out, so.
They made pictures of them, send them back, and sometimes you had a half a picture. One side was black because, you know, most of us,
you're trying to get that extra photo in.
Yeah. Coming from a poor family, you know, my dad had inherited one of the Kodak cameras that looked like a squeeze box, pulled it out, and of course, we were not really good camera takers, but when we took the pictures, you got back exactly what you took, and there was no way to know what you took. Yeah, those were the good ones.
Double exposures were fun.
One
on top of the other, and some of them were comical. So
Do you remember they had those Carhartt kiosks? And there was one in Lockport, and
Photo Mat, and
right.
And you would drop them off in this little kiosk, and then you'd come back and pick them up. That was another thing, and then the old Brownie photos that were tiny. Mm-hmm. I have a pile of those from my parents.
Some too.
And then the ones that had the little spiral at the top and they had the scalloped edges.
Got a lot of those too.
Those books of those. All those are gone. My mother threw those out. But, a lot of different ways that the photos came and, they didn't always come matted and they didn't always come together. But I still have a lot of those doubles. I don't know what I'm going to do with them.
Okay, as we count our doubles, we are going to take our second break of the day, and we would like you to call in and join us. Thank you for calling in the first place, 433-1433. We are talking about photography studios in Lockport, New York. You are listening to Niagara County's Great History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.
You're listening to the official radio home of Yankees baseball in Weston, New York. Hi, this is John Sterling. Join me along with Susan Waldman all season long as the Yankees chase after their 28th World Series title on WLVL Lockport.
Yankees baseball is brought to you by Mantelli Trailer Sales, Calderon Insurance, Belknap Heating and Cooling, Connor Wealth Management, Skirto Jewelers, KS Roth Insurance, and Niagara's Choice Federal Credit Union.
It's a new morning in Niagara. This is John Mazur, co-host of Wake Up Niagara, heard every weekday morning 6 to 9 on WLVL.
And I'm Lance Mellon. Join us, along with News Director Hank Nevins, for the latest news, weather, traffic, plus interviews with Niagara newsmakers on the Niagara's Choice voice line.
We even squeeze in a little sports on the porch. Make sure you wake up and join us.
Wake Up Niagara, weekday mornings 6 to 9 on WLVL.
Stream us live and catch the podcasts at WLVL.com.
The Ben Shapiro Show.
These corporations are filled with cowards top to bottom. They're afraid of discrimination lawsuits, so they have these diversity training seminars that do not alleviate discrimination. They're afraid of a few hashtags on Twitter, which never actually amount to anything. And so they just cower in the corner, hoping that people will go away. It is just sheer brazen cowardice.
The Ben Shapiro Show, weeknight 6 to 8 on WLVL.
Hometown 1340 AM and 105.3 FM is Niagara County's information station. Now, proud to partner with Fox News. Get the latest updates every hour on the hour from America's top news network, Fox News Radio. Always up-to-date information every hour, every day. The exclusive home for Fox News Radio in Western New York is Hometown 1340 AM and 105.3 FM. WLVL Lockport. Streaming live worldwide at WLVL.com and on your smart devices and speakers.
Welcome back to Niagara County's Great History Show. In the studio with me this morning, the Executive Director of the Niagara County History Center, Melissa Dunlap, and her assistant, Anne-Marie Linneberry. Today we are talking about the photography studios that were in Lockport in the area, and I believe we're in the 50s now, Melissa.
Well, actually, I have Lockport only up until the 50s, so we have some names for Niagara Falls. I have some older names. We don't have a lot of Niagara Falls directories. We have 1886 to 87, and then it jumps up to 1926. So if somebody has older photos in 1886, now we're in Niagara Falls. There was George Baker, and he was a landscape photographer, and he was on Main Street. There was Charles Bierstadt, and he was also a landscape photographer, and he was at Main and Buffalo Street. Frank Burns, and he had no business address, so I assume that he was an associate of someone who had a studio. George Curtis, and he was at the Jewett Block in Niagara Falls. George E. and Charles E. Martin. There was Hendrickson and Zahner, and they were at Cherry and Main Streets. Alexander Landreth, Fred Locke, H.F. Nielsen, David Nolan, and Leonard Shearer. So, and he batted their boards at the Railroad House. That would have been interesting. So we have some from 1926 that were the same, but we had new ones. There was Juanita Ball, and that sounds like a familiar name. Norma Cook, Max Cooper, Nathan Greenberg, Hart Studio, that was there a long time. Kazka, it's K-A-S-Z-Y-C-A, Benedict and Matthew, so they must have been brothers or father and son. Then there was the Theater Condo Studio, and I know Anne-Marie's going to talk about that because that was there for a long time. Alexander Landreth, Leonard St. George, Leonard Shearer, then there was the Smith Studio, the Strand Studio, and the Zahner Studio. Then a big one came in the 30s called the Blue Light Studio, and that was there for quite a while, and so was the Cataract Studio, if anybody remembers those or has photos from them. Then in the later 1930s, there was Cummings, Hardcastle, Kluge, Niagara Photo Finishing, Real Art Studio, Rembrandt Studio, Sacht, and then Frank O'Seed. Just kind of think that's a neat name. In the 40s, we started with the Andrews Photo Studio, the Arcade Studio, and then a lot of the existing studios.
433-1433, if you would like to join us and give us a studio that we haven't recorded on our charts, feel free. 433-1433.
Okay, we have the Paradise Photo Studio, the Schulks Studio Prospect House, Cordit, Englander, and that there was also Englander in Lockport, Greenberg, Osmo Pulaski. So now we're up to 1949, and they had separated into regular photographers, and now we have commercial photography, and that was Shira, Schoonover, and Seed. And then in the 50s, we had Century Photo Company, Dobrias, Englander, and Jack and Jill Child Store. So they must be specializing in children's photos. Cantonwin, Passerio, Shabilia, Simonson, and then that's where Varden starts, which did the school photos. So I'm going to let Anne Marie talk a little bit about the condo studio, because that's a really interesting story.
Okay, Theodore Kondo was actually born in Japan. His real name, I probably won't say this correctly, was Suzisa Kondo. And he was born, as I said, in 1888. And he studied, actually, to begin with, at the Okayama College of Commerce. But in 1906, he was actually accepted into the medical school at the University of Washington in Seattle. But while he was there, a friend of his introduced him to photography, which he found much more interesting than medicine. And so he decided to pursue a career in photography. And he enrolled in the Illinois College of Photography and graduated from there in 1914. And he then set up a photography studio in Oil City, Pennsylvania. And it was at that time that he changed his first name to Theodore, and he converted to Christianity. While he was still in Pennsylvania, he met and married Mary Levant DeLong, and the couple honeymooned in Niagara Falls. And he liked it there so much, and he thought that Niagara Falls would be a good city for a photography studio. So in 1920, he and Mary and their daughter, Ruth Ardell, moved to Niagara Falls. He opened his studio on October 23rd, 1920, and it was at 108 Falls Street. And for the next several years, he ran ads in the Niagara Falls Gazette for graduation, wedding, and Christmas photos. He always cited his photographs as being different and distinctive from other photography studios. He was actually recognized very early as a superior photographer, and he was not only sought after as a presenter at local and national camera clubs, but he also was asked to be a judge on regional competitions, photographic competitions, but also the Niagara Falls annual Christmas lighting displays and summer beauty contests. In 1925, his studio moved to 343 3rd Street, and he remained there for 12 years. So that would have been into the 1930s. And during this time, he actually began to specialize in what was called home portraiture. And he described it as, in order to bring out the individuality of a person, the artist must place his subject in poses and amid surroundings in which are natural to him. So with advances in technology and equipment, the photographer could bring the studio into a person's home. And these became very popular. So if anybody has a photo like that, I have not actually seen a home portraiture done by anyone or by Kondo, but if anybody has that, that would be interesting to see. And he and his wife attended the annual convention of the Photographers Association of America, beginning in the 1920s. And in order to become what was called a master of photography, you had to have a photograph in that show, not every year, but after you gained a point for every year that you had a photograph in that show. And after you achieved 25 points, you were given the title of Master of Photography. And so by 1962, Theodore Kondo had earned his Master of Photography degree, because he had had more than 25 photos, actually, over 25 years in these shows. And it's interesting because many of his photos that he entered for these exhibitions were of Native Americans from the Tuscarora Reservation and people from the African-American community in Niagara Falls. So those were the photos that he entered into the expositions. The studio moved again in 1937. This time it was at 1120 Main Street. And during World War II, when many Japanese Americans were interred in camps or faced discrimination, Kondo was respected by the community. Because of his professionalism and ability, many local servicemen went to him to be photographed in their uniforms. In a 1958 interview, Kondo said, "The people of this city were wonderful to me. They said, 'You don't have to worry, Mr. Kondo. We're your friends, and we understand how rough this war must be on you.'" Speaking of World War II, Mr. Kondo became a U.S. citizen in 1953, and he said it was the proudest day of his life. He would have liked to have been a citizen much sooner, but it was not possible because of the Asian Exclusion Act, which finally ended in 1952. Theodore Kondo never returned to Japan. He actually continued in his business until shortly before his death in November of 1963, just after the Kennedy assassination, and he died at the age of 75.
Okay, Melissa, we have just a little over 2 minutes to go for today's show. It always flies by, and we're having so much fun. If you'd like to recap and tell us about some of these special events coming up before next month, and we return every second Wednesday of the month to bring you all of the updates on the Niagara County History Center.
Okay, so we still have the Belva Lockwood exhibit, and we're hoping that you'll come in and see that because she was such a phenomenal woman. Ran for President of the United States, also was the first woman to argue a case in front of the United States Supreme Court. We have an art show coming in, the Niagara Arts Guild, and that'll be opening on Saturday this week. It will also run until May 15th. The Erie Canal Discovery Center is going to open May 1st from 9 to 5 every day until October 31st. So if you have a chance, please stop there. We will be having two cemetery tales, one in August and one in September. So we're looking forward to that. And that, even though it's outside, we still require people to wear masks, and we're going to ask them to wear them over their nose and their mouth. Yes. That's how they work. And we're going to have the speakers mic'd so that people can hear everything instead of being so close to the speakers. We have some youth programs, and then this Clench exhibit is going to open at the Keenan Center.
April 25th through June 6th.
Yes. So Anne-Marie has two programs.
On July 21st, we're going to do a children's program on the history of firefighting in Lockport, and we're going to do indoor and outdoor activities. Again, we will be requiring everyone to be wearing masks, and we will do social distancing, but we're still going to do a lot of fun activities with the children. And then again, on Wednesday, August 18th, we're going to do a program about the Titanic, which again, we've done before, and it's always been very popular. Again, masks and social distancing. So we are currently right now working on the activities for those programs. And it will be a lot of fun.
They're playing our music. You have been listening to Niagara County History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.